show. This is Cliffo and Gabby's catch up.
The Cliffo and Gabby podcast. Gabby's got food stuck.
God, I hate that.
Between her teeth.
I have a fake tooth and it's got like this weird little pocket in between the next tooth where food always gets stuck, especially steak. Like I'll get chunks of steak stuck in there.
I remember when I had to get a filling like redone and, you know, for the week or so until I was booked in, everything I ate.
It's so annoying.
It was just a little hidey hole for food.
Yes.
And then you'd spend the next hour with your tongue.
Trying to get it out.
Trying to get it out, man.
And then your tongue gets tired. Have you ever had that?
What did they do in the old days before? Because I would have had shocking teeth. Like I'm talking before fillings
cotton?
And stuff like that.
Oh, I thought you meant to like get the food out.
No, just
just dealt with it.
I often think about that. Like life must have been shit.
Like the life
in the
before
old days.
Hygiene.
Yeah, life
That's
before
a really terrible
hospitals.
Place.
We've really got it good now.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Think of the healthcare system.
Think of the healthcare system. Sure, it's dodgy, but it's there. Hey,
that was
hanging
deep.
About. Huge podcast today. We're looking at writing a kid's book for Book Week. So we got an actual Queensland author on. We asked Kyle Felt if we can help him come up with post-try celebration ideas.
Yes.
So that was good. What else? Bridesmaid thing.
Everything was good.
It's all good, guys.
It's all good.
Strap in and enjoy the ride. The Cliffo and Gabby podcast. Book Week next week.
That's cool. It is Book Week.
Winifred Sanderson from Hocus Pocus.
Have fun.
Book Week, mate.
Mm.
Bigger than Ben-Hur.
Oh, it's gotten huge.
This is like, and it's weird for me because I got kids now who have to do the whole Book Week thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to do it.
No.
And yesterday that was a big question on our minds because we're like, when did Book Week become bigger than Ben-Hur?
Yeah. Back in our day, we celebrated by going to the library.
Yeah, you legitimately all got on a minibus and did an excursion to the public library.
We did.
We're not just going to the school
like
library today.
Like half an hour away. We went
to
the public library.
Public library.
Yeah.
Cool.
These days, though, there's parades, there's costumes, and they
Assemblies.
Do multiple costumes in a week, don't they?
Awards.
Like, it is full on.
Oh, our school, that's just one day.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah. God, are there schools that do costume changes?
I believe so.
Neck level.
Yeah.
So with the help of Sasha, Candace, and I think it was Jody yesterday, we were able to whittle it down to 96, 97. Like all we could get it to was like a financial year.
Yes.
We think around 96, 97.
Is when it started to explode.
Is when a change occurred. Mm. And it's very obvious to me that there's something in kids' books because we had Ed Cavalier from Husey, Ed and Aaron on the show. He's written a kids' book. Of course, Andy Lee from Hamish and Andy has found
some,
huge success.
Mm-hmm.
He's written a few now. The Do Not Open This Book series is massive.
The first one he wrote was for his nephew, and then it was so successful. It was like, all right, I'll keep doing this.
Oh, mate, it's one of his biggest things now.
Yeah.
You know? Dave Hughes has written a kid's book.
Peter Hellyer. Mm.
The list goes on and on.
Ash Barty!
That's her big career move after golf.
The last.
And we thought, with everyone getting on board with this, maybe there's some money to be made.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we could take a piece of this pie.
Maybe we could get a bit of the old kids' book pie.
I would like that.
So the idea just kind of naturally came about that maybe we should, as a show, get to work and write a kids' book.
It can't be that hard if all the celebrities are doing it.
Oh, buddy. buddy. I read kids' books all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not like
it's not rocket science.
So I'm reading Where the Crawdads Sing at the moment. That's for me. That's like a full novel or whatever.
Mm.
I could never write a book like
that.
I couldn't do that.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like I couldn't write The Da Vinci Code.
No, God no.
I couldn't do that.
They're very detailed.
They are very detailed. But Pig the Pug. Like I feel like I could write that. Sorry, Aaron Blaby.
There's probably more of an art to it than we realize, but
maybe.
I do agree. I will read a kid's book because I'll buy kids' books when babies are born, and I'll read it before I hand it over, and I'm like, could do this.
Well, like The Very Hungry Caterpillar.
Oh,
great.
Easy.
Famous book, but it's just a caterpillar that eats everything. Like, I could write that.
It's like a story of my life.
that's me.
Day of the life of Gabby.
I'm the caterpillar.
Yeah, we could totally do it.
We could totally do it. So we've actually lined up Elisa Darlinson. So she's a Queensland-based kids author. Mm. You might have heard of the League of Llamas books. She's sort of famous for those. But she's had more than 50 kids books published.
She's done well.
And she's going to join us this morning after 7:50 just to tell us if we're out of our minds or if, you know, yeah, there's something in this.
If this is a potential for us to get in on this book week shenanigans.
Yeah. I'm down for it, man.
Let's see what she has to say. Before we really like,
I wonder what the advance is going to be.
It in.
I'm thinking a million.
I don't know.
$1 million, maybe. $1 billion, maybe.
We've got to prove our worth first.
Do they do a $1 trillion advance? I don't even know.
We're tossing up the idea about writing a kid's book in celebration of Book Week that is happening next week. And we thought there needs to be a Queensland kids book out there. And everyone seems to be getting on board this bandwagon. All the celebrities are writing kids books. So we have an award-winning Queensland author on with us right now to tell us a little bit of what we could expect if we were to go down this path. Elisa Darlinson, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, Elisa. So we know you. You've written and published over 50 books. League of Llamas is a big one that we know you for. You're a Queensland author, just absolutely killing it. Is it easy to write a kid's book? Because we are complete novices in that space.
You might have to do a little bit of research and maybe, you know, hone your writing skills. Oof. But, you know, it's not always easy, but it is so much fun.
Okay, so being rewarding, is it rewarding just because kids enjoy it, or is it rewarding monetary-wise? I know that might be a rude question, but it feels like everyone's on the bandwagon, so is there a lot of money in it?
Oh, I get asked that question all the time, and I've got a private plane, you know, a private jet, I've got an island, I've got several landings. Look, it really depends. You never know if you're going to strike it lucky with a story. Mm. I think if you've got a bit of celebrity status behind you, like you two, you could do really, really well. You could sell lots and lots of books, and then you will have your own private island and private jet too.
I tell you what, if you're leaning on our celebrity status, I like the book's a flop already, let me tell you. What's some of the core things we should know? Because look, how I'm envisioning this, Gabby, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm envisioning maybe you and me go off and we come up with some pitches, for what the stories could be.
Because we'd have different ideas on stories.
We'd have different ideas. So maybe we pitch different stories and, you know, we collectively as a show decide which one we want to do. But what's some of the core things we should sort of remember and take away when we're coming up with an idea for our books?
Well, I think you need to work out who your audience is going to be, which genre you're going to write in or age group targeting. So I think maybe a novel might be a bit long for you to create in the next week or week.
Yeah.
Focus on a picture book. So you'd probably want that for a 4 to 6 year old. Think about what appeals to or what's important to 4 to 6 year olds as your core idea. And you only need one central idea. Make it a nice, simple problem resolution tale. Maybe go with an animal as your main character. Kids, adults, they love animals.
Yeah.
So they have lots of readers. So there's a few little ideas that you might be able to put into your pitch.
Try and get into the head of a 4 to 6 year old.
Well, yeah, we might have to interview your daughter or something.
Yeah, when Lisa says there, you know, do your research, that doesn't mean like jump the fence of a daycare, Gabby, and start like interviewing children. And,
all right. I'll cross that off my list. How many pages should we aim for, Elisa, when it comes to a picture book?
For a picture book, technically it's 32 pages.
Ooh!
Yeah.
Longer than I expected.
So you could say like 10.
Well, you can make a shorter picture book. They're all the vogue at the moment.
Look, so many rules. At the end of the day too, though, it is art. Yeah. And, you know, art is subjective. Yeah. How long is a piece of string kind of stuff? It sounds like it's going to be fun. I think chatting to you, Elisa, I don't know about you, Gabby, I think this is sort of...
Sparked a bit of a...
Yeah, my creativity's sort of flowing now.
Passion,
so
yeah.
I reckon we're going to run with this. Elisa Darlinson, Queensland published author, over 50 books in rotation. Love the League of Llamas books. You've been so helpful. You've really got the juices flowing. So happy book week next week and thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Give me a call anytime you need any advice on your writing. And good luck with your creativity. I love this idea.
We've added you onto the speed dial.
Yeah, you're there.
We're going to need a lot
of
help.
We will be calling. Thank you, Elisa. Kyle Felt from our North Queensland Toyota Cowboys is here right now, though. Hey, Kyle.
Hello, Gabby.
Still number two on the line. Doing all right.
Yep, number one in your heart.
How's the happy, mate?
Yeah, it's good. I'm back this week, so I'm very excited.
Oh, good. All right. So it's Warriors tomorrow night. So 6 p.m. kickoff. Get around that. We'll talk about that maybe a bit later on, but there is a bigger fish that we want to fry with you this morning, Kyle. There's yes. a problem that we've identified in the NRL, and we thought together the three of us could probably solve it.
Quite easily.
And it's in regards to post-try celebrations. Mm. Now, you're in here 2 weeks ago, and we're talking about a try that Scotty Drinkwater scored. And after he's done it, he's sort of done the hands like sort of one.
Look like a snake.
Kind of like a snake forwards and then sort of one towards the back. And straight away the Fox commentator's like, oh, look, he's doing the walk like an Egyptian.
Walk like an Egyptian.
That wasn't quite the case though, was it?
No, definitely not.
It was like a...
It was a wrestling move or something that he'd come up with, yeah. I don't even really know what it was, to be honest.
So he was trying to be cool. And it did not come across that way. Probably, just to put it out there.
Probably in his own head, he thought it was cool.
Yeah, exactly. And then when they said it was walk like an Egyptian, I bet he's regretting
that. I mean, the guy just scored an amazing try in the NRL.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool in and of itself.
Then
he
dampened it.
Then he got up and even I thought, like, walk like an Egyptian? Like, that's a 30-year-old song. That's a song from the 80s or whatever. I thought, why is he doing walk like an Egyptian? Like, this doesn't make any sense to me. But then, yeah, you said it's some wrestler thing that he must be into or whatever. But it did get us thinking about post-try celebrations. Are they the kind of thing that sort of premeditated and thought about Felty, or did they just come up on the spot?
Obviously, in July, we had Try for July, and you obviously did think about it in case you did score a try, but normally you don't even think.
What's try for in July again?
You think it's $10,000 a try or $5,000 a try, and a celebration goes towards, I think it's Massey Mosoi.
Right.
He got injured over in the UK, paralyzed, and all the money goes to help him out. So
so you had to do a celebration.
Yeah, you have to do a celebration, and then they Sportsbet donate $5,000 per celebration for the month, and I think they end up raising $150,000 or $200,000 for him. This year, so
that's incredible.
Well, we want to keep the celebrations going though, because they're fun.
Yeah, we don't want them just in July.
No,
are you donating
good.
$5,000 too?
No,
oh, okay.
We just want to see them go. See them continue.
Yeah, I'm really regretting that you told that story before we run this phone topic. So, have you done any before that have been sort of pulled up or talked about, or like, have you done any post-try celebrations in the past that people were like, oh, good one?
I did one. I think it was last year when I scored my 100th game. My 100th try on my 150th game. I did like a cricket hit and then raised the bat.
Yeah,
I did that. That's probably the only one I've really done.
All right.
Well, we need to fix that. We need to come up with a great celebration that you can do that will be talked about for years to come.
And if we can find one that you are agreeable, like that you think it's a good post-try celebration, are you willing to roll it out?
Yeah, if I'm comfortable with it and if I do score. I'll be happy
to
do
it.
Well,
you will.
Well,
you'll
have to score, mate.
Someone else scores, I'll run up and do it for them.
if we're gonna
put 30 minutes into this phone up, we're going to need a try. 13-10-60. So lines are clear right now.
Mm.
This is just a good old-fashioned radio brainstorm. We're just going to throw them all on the whiteboard.
Yep.
Nothing's a bad suggestion. We're just going to throw them all up and see what sticks with Kyle. But what's your suggestion? What's your idea?
Yep.
For a really good post-try celebration
that
Felty could rock out after scoring a try, hopefully against the Warriors tomorrow night.
Keeping in mind, if you're the one who comes up with this suggestion, you will see your move pulled out on TV this weekend. Mm.
By your finest.
If I do say so myself.
Yep.
13-10-60. So just have a think about it. Yeah, what move would and you can picture Felty doing it or any NRL player. Just what's a really great post-try celebration you would like to see happen in the NRL?
Yep.
If it resonates with Felty,
he'll do it.
Just might see it happening.
What do you mean just might? He will.
If /when the finest scores a try. 13-10-60, give us your post-try celebration ideas on here. You said the Macarena during the ads and stuff there.
I reckon you could do the Macarena.
And you busted out the Macarena perfectly.
And especially the little hip circle.
Yeah, I actually don't mind that one. It's only on my own. It's Pretty easy to do. Not
You've
hard
got
to
the rhythm?
About. Yeah, oh, easy.
Naturally.
Obviously.
I've broken that out a few times at weddings and birthday parties.
Not at mine, you didn't.
No.
You weren't allowed to play it.
It did play.
Yeah, I know, and you were filthy.
13 10 60. We'll go to calls because there's a few coming through. Sam's first up. Sam, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Say hello to Kyle Felt. Sam, we're good.
What's doing?
What's happening?
Sam, what's your suggestion for the post-try celebration?
Oh, this is not even my idea. It's something I've seen in the NFL, and it involves the whole team. And once this touchdown was made, the players were all lined up as bowling pins, and the guy that did the touchdown, or well, in this case would be a try, would like bowl the ball, and everyone would stand their pins and fall over.
I mean,
could you get the whole team involved?
You'd have to get the other members
would,
of the
that
squad.
That would take a lot of rubber twisting arms to get them to do it.
Right.
Maybe I'd have to pay them. I'd have to pay them $10 each or something.
$10 each to be a bowling
a
pin.
A bowling pin.
Okay. I love it as a suggestion,
it
Sam.
It would look very
look cool,
cool
yeah.
But a lot of coordinating
but we're probably,
the team.
Like, I'm sensing a bit of a, if I can do it solo, yeah. That's probably the best.
We need a choreographer or something to do that one.
Yeah, right. Jordan's here. Hey, Jordan.
Hey.
What's your suggestion for Felty when it comes to post-try celebrations?
I reckon he should do the rock bottom.
Oh. What's that?
Is that the Dwayne Johnson one?
Dwayne the Rock Johnson.
Yeah, it is.
What is it exactly?
It's his finishing move.
Can you explain the move?
So basically, there's usually someone laying down on the ground. He'll run, jump over, bounce off the ring, go back, and then swing his arms, and then drop down onto the ground.
Yeah, Braden Ueli done it last year for Cronulla.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You could.
That was for
okay.
Try July as well. Him and their hooker done it. So
interesting.
Could you bounce off like the?
I'd bounce off the post.
The post, or,
yeah. if it was near the post. If not, I would not have a clue.
I was going to say bounce off the referee, but that probably
nah,
won't go down.
I don't know if you'd want to do that.
Don't do that. I like Kev's suggestion. Kev, what's your idea for Felty's post try celebration?
I just thought maybe he could like pretend he was peeling a banana and then eating it to prove that scoring a try was really easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterwards he could throw the skin of the banana over his shoulder and one of his teammates could slip on it.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Okay, now we're getting involved.
I like it, though, because it's only one teammate you need to get on board, not the whole team. Would that be possible?
Could the peeling the banana thing be like a...
I could probably use the ball as the banana. Peel the banana.
Oh,
peel
gold.
The ball.
Yeah,
so that worked.
How do we feel about that one?
Well, yeah, because Gabby said the Macarena, too.
I did, yeah, that
macarena.
Was... I do like the Macarena.
Yeah,
we can keep suggestions. Like yeah. I don't want to stronghold you here.
We've still got one more day till game day.
All right.
Maybe we take more suggestions on socials.
Okay. Keep them coming through at Cliffo and Gabby on Facebook and Instagram.
Featuring Felty.
Featuring Kyle Felt. Not actually in the name of the other pages, but that maybe we could change that. Keep them coming through your suggestions.
Yep.
And we'll just filter them through to Felty.
And he'll pick one.
Yeah, and he'll pick one. So, all right, good luck. Score a try, please.
Yep.
Can't wait to see the celebration.
I was going to say, pick a good celebration.
Have you ever said no to being a bridesmaid? I ask this because a friend of mine is trying to figure out how to say no. Because she was asked to be a bridesmaid, but she's not really very good friends with the person who's asking her. And it's a really expensive job to take on. Like the outfit, the hens dye, like everything that comes with it comes at a cost.
It's a like being asked to be a bridesmaid or a groomsman. It's a job. Like
it is.
There's stuff, like you're doing a favour.
You are. And it's a beautiful thing to be standing next to a person that you love and admire to support them on their big day. I love that. I love doing that for my best friends, to be there for them and be there by their side. But if it wasn't a best friend, it just doesn't feel right for starters because, you know, maybe you're not that big a part of their life. But also, it's expensive.
Oh, man, I've heard stories before about people being asked to be bridesmaids.
Mm.
And they were like, really? Me?
We haven't spoken in a year.
I didn't. Okay.
And that's kind of the situation.
Because I would never make you one of mine.
That's awkward. Like, I wouldn't even invite you to the wedding. Yeah, because that can get real awkward, hey. So the friend of mine is in that pickle where not a good friend, not someone she would deem as in her inner circle, and doesn't have the money to put towards being a bridesmaid for someone she's not that close to. So she's trying to figure out how to say no. And it just, it's opened up a whole can of worms, because I would love to know the stories behind saying no to being a bridesmaid.
13, 10, 16.
Brides can get a bit cranky.
Would you accept as well bridesmaids who have resigned?
Yes. From you the said role? Yes and then you said no.
And then you stepped back from the role.
Like my sister decided not to be my bridesmaid.
Really?
But that was a conversation I initiated because I knew she wouldn't really love to be in the spotlight.
Okay.
And she was like, yeah, prefer not. I'm like, cool.
Well, that's a win for everyone.
Yeah.
We'll take like heaps of these if we can. We'll take as many as we can get because I think they're great calls. But just quickly before the break, do you want to take one now?
Yes, can we?
Okay, 13, 10, 60. We'll go to Rebecca straight up. Rebecca, have you said no to being a bridesmaid?
Good morning, guys. Sorry, my kids are making noise.
All good.
Yes, I said no to being my, I resigned from being my bridesmaid's sister.
Oh, your sister's bridesmaid. Yes, sister's bridesmaid.
Why? What was the reason?
Well, my partner and I had planned on having our second kid after her wedding, and we fell pregnant 9 months before.
Oh!
Right, so the dates were a thing. Like, you could literally pop there on the altar.
Yeah, I was due to have the bub. Oh, my gosh. I was due to have the baby the weekend of her wedding, and ended up coming a week early. So
we get it back.
We get it. We get it. Dates don't align. Yeah. That's fine.
Look, I feel like there would be stories out there too where the resignation has been forced out of like not a nice place. Like that's out of a nice place.
That is a nice place. Dates don't align. You can't argue that.
You're coming from a good space there.
Totally. But maybe there was an argument. Maybe there was a fallout. Maybe
there's too much of a bridezilla kind of thing going on.
Maybe
That's what I want to hear. 13, 10, 60. The resignations and the refusals to be a bridesmaid from a space of not honey drops and lollipops and roses and smiles. 13, 10, 60.
We want the tension.
On hit. Monica, did you say no to being a bridesmaid?
I actually resigned from being a bridesmaid.
So how long were you a bridesmaid and how far was it till the wedding when you resigned?
So it was about September and the wedding was in December. She was having a Christmas wedding.
All right, so you gave her 3 months.
Yeah.
That's even employers, you only have to give 4 weeks.
That's so short.
Why did you resign?
Well, she was very, very demanding, total bridezilla, and she was making everybody feel like crap. She was gaslighting everybody. She was telling people that they had to lose weight. They weren't allowed to have specific things like colours in their hairs, telling guests they weren't allowed a whole colour. Like, no one was allowed to wear any red at all.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yes. This is bridezilla. Wow. Awful. Are you still friends with this person?
No. I'm not friends with her anymore. I don't need a narcissist or a gaslighter in my life. So.
Resign as a bridesmaid and cut her out of your life.
As a friend, yeah.
Wow.
13, 10, 60. Sarah's here. Sarah, have you said no to being a bridesmaid?
Yeah, I said no to my brother's now wife.
This is an interesting one because she probably asked you to, have you as part of the wedding being family, but you didn't want to be part of it?
No, she was definitely being polite. And the issue is that no one likes her either.
Tension.
Okay.
So it was a no-brainer for you.
Is Christmas awkward?
Oh, it was a no-brainer. She's like a piranha except with lipstick.
Okay. It's good. It's good, Sarah. No, don't mince your words, Sarah. I like it. I like the honesty. Matt. You didn't say no to being a bridesmaid, but you said no to being a
best man.
Really?
Oh, that's
a big one to say no to.
What was the reasoning?
Because originally I said yes, but then the weekend before their wedding was due, I found out that the groom that I was best man for was actually been sleeping with my partner.
No!
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, mate, yeah. So,
please tell me you did more than just resign as groomsman.
I told the wife-to-be. I told her, and she still continued along with the wedding.
Oh, no.
And they broke up about 6 or 8 months later.
Oh, wow.
So
did you break up with your partner as well, who was sleeping with the groom?
I left the cheating ass where she was and walked out.
Holy moly.
Oh, man. Yep. That's like I thought married at first sight was juicy, yeah. But man, that's a cracker. Thanks, man.
No worries.
Alpha Bucks is back tomorrow, Friday, the 19th of August. It's worth $1,000 cash.
One of my favourite games is the answer the answer we give you for Alpha Bucks.
Strip poker.
More child-friendly. Tetris.
Tetris.
I've always loved Tetris.
Tetris is the free answer for Alpha Bucks. And don't forget, Monday morning, more chances to win with Double Hit Alpha Bucks. Playing after 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. More winners, more chances to play. More grands.
Just spitting out the money.
You get a gorilla. You get a gorilla. Everyone gets a gorilla. Alpha Bucks playing again tomorrow on Hit and the Listener app. The Hit Breakfast Show.